Warning, the following audio transmission will forever change your outlook on society. You will no longer believe the narrative. You are about to wake up and see things for what they really are. News, facts, and opinions. This is the Doom Daily Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Doom Daily Show. I'm going to be a little bit quieter on tonight's episode because my kids are attempting to go to sleep about 20 feet away from me. We are staying in a hotel up in the north. It's a lot colder than I thought it was. And I'm laying on this like therapy style couch in a hotel room with my family. Anyway, today is April 24th. Time is 23:53, and it is Wednesday. For you, it is Thursday morning. Your week's almost over. You've made it through hump day, and you are on track to complete the rest of the week and hopefully have a great weekend. So let me describe this room and what's going on here. So there's this like elongated sleeper sofa, like a man that is 6'5" would be comfortable on this couch. And I've got this like weird roll style pillow, and it's this like little front kind of living room area of the hotel room, I guess you could call it. And it feels like you're in a therapy office. Like, I feel like there should be a therapist sitting next to me while I stare at the ceiling and do this show for you guys. There's a nice little work desk that I decided not to use because I wanted to be more comfortable and have a little bit of a sound barrier from everybody else. As you walk in, there is a mini bar, which is wildly unimpressive. The ice bucket was dirty. I don't want to put any ice in that. So I ended up bagging the ice because I like to have ice water at all times. The shower and the toilet, of course, are in one, just like always, but the sink is separate, so that kind of sucks. I like a bathroom to be altogether enclosed. There are two beds. There is a AC heater in the wall, just like any other hotel room. The only difference is this one has a thermostat on the wall and not on the unit itself. I guess they tried to church the place up a bit. It's okay. I'm waiting to see what breakfast is like in the morning. Because when we go stay places, I kind of always want, you know, do they have a breakfast bar? Is there a breakfast option? Because I want to go down and get like a real cup of coffee and a piece of fruit or see what they have to offer, whether it's, you know, some hard-boiled eggs or something that falls into my blood type-based diet, you know. And most places have your typical floppy microwave bacon and your shitty eggs that are pre-cooked, made of powder. Just garbage, trash-ass food. And it's very rare that I'm, like, impressed with food at any hotel I've stayed at. There's only been a handful of places in my life where I'm like, wow, that breakfast was totally worth the stay. And one of those places wasn't even in this country. And the other one, the only reason I feel it was worth the stay at all for their breakfast was they had breakfast sandwiches. Okay? And it was basically unlimited, and they were all like egg McMuffins like you'd get at McDonald's or sausage McMuffins, and they were just there. And they had the, I don't even know if they still make these anymore, but they had the plastic cereal bowls with the cereal already in there. You just rip the top off and put your milk in it, and things like Lucky Charms and Fruit Loops and things like that. So, I mean, kind of trash-ass food, but stuff that I liked at the time. So I'm in hog heaven getting breakfast sandwiches and cereal in the morning, and there's, you know, a big supply of milk, and it's ice cold milk. So it was a really good breakfast day. The other one was in Greece, and they had this awesome breakfast meats, and they had honey on the comb, and just everything was, you know, all this fresh fruit and sweets and like good fresh eggs. It was on point. But you don't typically see those kind of things here at a reasonable price anywhere. I mean, if you go somewhere that's really high-priced, you might see some of these things, but over there for an average hotel in Athens, it was, holy crap, my mind was blown. When we go back, I want to go just for that breakfast. Anyway, so as I recorded last time, prep stock tickets. If you guys are coming to that, make sure you get your tickets, prepstock.net. There was only 5 campsites available last time I checked. I have not checked today. Those will be gone soon. And if you guys aren't coming to this year's event, this is going to be a trip, because for us, me and the person who's building this event, we are having things happen that I would have been begging for the first go year round, like the amount of giveaway items we have and sponsorships and supporters. It is crazy to me how this has just grown overnight. And I'm not even worried about the ticket sales, really. I mean, because we've sold enough tickets to cover the cost of the event, which is great. But then we haven't even come up through the scheduling yet on Google or on Prepper Shows USA. So eventually we're going to start populating up there as the time gets closer to October, and it's going to be wildly insane. And I highly, you know, we don't talk about prepper stuff on this show. It's not in the realm of what the show is or what we do here. But, you know, if you are worried about the things that are coming, you might really want to consider, first off, getting a ticket to Prep Stock, and then second off, listening to my other show, It's Doomsday Podcast, which is available on all platforms. And if you've had enough of, you know, the doom and gloom and the shit we talk about here on Doom Daily, maybe you come over to another show that I'm on. You come over to the Beans and Weenie is Slightly Doomed show, which is a long-running comedy show that I find to be quite entertaining. I think most people would get a kick out of it, although it's not everybody's cup of tea. You're either going to laugh shit yourself or you're going to cry. That's just kind of how it goes. Anyway, we'll be right back after these messages.
Want to advertise on the Doom Daily Show? Send producer Scooter an email, doomdailyshow@gmail.com. And this 15-second ad slot could be yours.
And welcome back to the Doom Daily Show. Now, this topic of conversation is definitely going to get this episode pulled down from somewhere, but it is related to the vaccine. And most of us know that these episodes get taken down. It kind of is what it is. That's why this show exists. Because they wanted to put me in a corner with It's Doomsday Podcast. So this show was started in order to say, hey, if you're going to put me in that corner, I'm going to be really fucking loud in that corner. So this is an article on the Epic Times by Monica O'Shea. All right, and this is in regards to the Supreme Court win for a police constable who refused the COVID-19 jab. A senior constable in Victoria who faced charges for not taking the COVID-19 vaccine has won his battle in a landmark ruling by the Supreme Court. This decision could set a precedent for others impacted by the vaccine mandates in the state and around Australia. The case centered on whether the requirement to provide evidence of vaccine status necessitated receiving a dose of COVID-19 vaccine. Constable Simon Peter Shearer had been charged with breach of discipline for failing to comply with the COVID-19 vaccination requirements outlined in the Victoria Police Manual. The officer's decision not to receive any dose of the COVID-19 vaccine by August 16, 2022, led to an internal disciplinary inquiry initiated by the Victorian Police Chief Commissioner. However, Victorian Supreme Court Justice Michael Donald concluded this charge was unjust and should be quashed. So, this is kind of the way I look at this situation. You're going to start seeing, this is obviously going to set a precedent for this. There was a lot of people who refused the vaccine. There was a lot of people who refused this not knowing what was in it. And I've talked about this before. I refused this. My employer brought this up and brought it up to me and a few other employees. Like, you know, we're thinking about mandating the vaccine. What do you guys think? And we kind of all collectively said we would quit and we would go find new jobs because we don't want it. And they basically made it optional. They put a map and a piece of paper of where you can go get the jab and the best place to get it and who had what, whether it was the Moderna or the Johnson & Johnson or whoever else had it, where you can get it, the cost of what was covered or blah, blah, blah. Just a how-to guide to go get it is what they decided to put by our time clock. And most people at my work refused it. I think a couple of them went and did it. And what I find so funny is there was one gentleman I worked with who was very, very religious. And whenever he saw this jab come out, he was preaching this Mark of the Beast type stuff. The gentleman was saying the vaccine was the mark of the beast and would bring about the end times. So he is staying very, very far away from this. In turn, he ended up getting it because the fear campaign that was launched by the media worked on him. And basically he used fear. He was more scared. He was scared into not using his better judgment, and he went out and got the vaccine. Now, the thing is with this constable down in Australia, the thing that's very interesting about this is that how it says it's going to set a precedent. So whenever you have something take place in the court of law, it then kind of becomes the basis. So people that have gotten in trouble for not getting this vaccine, or employers that try to force this when there's court cases out there that say, no, this is unfounded or this isn't right, that's kind of how they start basing the standard and what they're going by. So this is absolutely 100% a win for anybody that has gotten any kind of backlash for not, you know, taking this or is facing backlash over this. And the other thing is if they decide to pull further mandates, once we have, you know, court cases that are documented that say, hey, this is unconstitutional or this is unfounded or this needs to go away, it's going to be a lot harder for these employers to face mandates, okay, which is a very good thing for someone like me who is like, no, I'm definitely not going to get this because I don't trust it. I don't believe for a second you can have this virus that just comes out of nowhere and then launch a vaccine for it, and then it's magically going to work, and we all should just get it. No, I don't believe it. I don't buy it. You're not selling me on this. There's no freaking way. And, I mean, good for this guy for getting this quash. But how you got to think about the kind of hell this guy was going through at his work whenever they were opening this investigation, because he simply does not want to get this medical treatment, this experimental shot, this experimental vaccine. This vaccine that shows little to no evidence of actually doing anything. And what's funny is there's the data on this jab was so skewed from the gate of first it will prevent you from getting it and you won't die if you get it, to it'll keep you from spreading it, or if you do get it, it'll lessen the symptoms of it. This, that, the other, then, oh, it's not doing enough, so booster, 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 and then, you know, oh, still booster, booster, booster. It's crazy to me. And it's crazy to me because, you know, this is launched by the government. I mean, the government and Big Pharma, they're all working together to get you to go get this vaccine, and they have, you know, the information that they have on it and side effects and things like that aren't good for starters, but they're still pushing it on people. And, you know, could it be one guy within government saying, you know, terrified and trying to give somebody something, saying, yeah, it'll work, do it. Okay, this is the game plan. This is what we're going with, right? Or could it simply be just a very manipulating tactic? Could it simply have been, we got to shut down the world because of the shit with the election, and then we have to have a reason to say we can open it back up again? And, you know, so COVID is the big scare to shut the world down so the election can be toiled with, or so you can change things or, you know, manipulate things however you want. And then you say, okay, how are we going to get it reopened? Well, we're going to say everybody got a vaccine, and that's what did it. That's what got us there. Thank you for all the vaccinated Americans, because you remember they were raging wars against the unvaccinated. And I'm happy that all that talk and speak has finally calmed down, because I didn't think it was ever going to end. I've got into so many arguments with people over this stupid vaccine, and now we are starting to see the side effects from it. We're seeing how many military members, you know, basically quit and said, I'm not doing it. How many people we lost job-wise because of it. I mean, it wasn't just COVID that crippled the economy. It was also the vaccine. We'll be right back after these messages.
Prep Stock is happening this October. go to www.prepstock.net for more information. Prepstock is the ultimate survival event. That's prepstock.net for all information and updates.
Welcome back to the Doom Daily Show. Ladies and gentlemen, you all know that I am not a fan at all of the EVs, the electric vehicles. But I found a story that I think is kind of interesting. This is through the Epoch Times and the Associated Press. Listen to this. Tesla driver in Seattle area crash that killed motorcyclist told police he was using autopilot. Okay. A Tesla that may have been operating on the company's autopilot driving system hit and killed a motorcyclist near Seattle, raising questions about whether a recent recall went far enough to ensure Tesla drivers using autopilot pay attention to the road. After the crash Friday in a suburban area about 15 miles northeast of the city, the driver of a 2022 Tesla Model S told a Washington State Patrol trooper that he was using autopilot and looked at his cell phone while the Tesla was moving. The next thing he knew, there was a bang and the vehicle lurched forward as it accelerated and collided with a motorcycle in front of him. The trooper wrote in a probable cause document, the 56-year-old driver was arrested for investigation of vehicular homicide based on the admitted inattention to driving while on autopilot mode and the distraction of the cell phone while moving forward, putting trust in the machine to drive for him, the affidavit said. The Tesla driver told the trooper that he was driving home from having lunch when the crash occurred about 3:45 p.m. The motorcyclist, Jeffrey Neeson, 28, of the Stanwood, Washington, was under the car and pronounced dead at the scene, authorities reported. So, without going any further into the article, let's just kind of pick this apart and break this down. First and foremost, what is the point of autopilot if you have to continuously monitor what the car is doing? That kind of defeats the whole purpose of it, right? Like, the whole purpose of the car being self-driving is so you don't have to pay attention. So you don't have to watch the road. Maybe so you could multitask. Maybe so you could take a break. Maybe so you could just stare out the window because you work 60 hours a week to afford the freaking Tesla and you're tired, right? So I've got a big problem with the self-driving cars in general because we all know that technology has hiccups. It has bugs. Things need to be fixed. Things need to be worked out. Pretty much everything I own that's electronic has glitched out, not worked right, had to be fixed at some point, right? Things, if they're mechanical, they will go wrong. Even if they're organic, they go wrong, like human beings are organic. And we have aneurysms and we have seizures and we have things go wrong all the time. It's a common thing. So, and, you know, there's no... You know, there. I guess you could say there are design flaws within humanity. Sure, why not? But do you have design flaws with technology and things like that? Yes. Do good engineers combat that? Yes. But the autopilot thing is just scary in general. And here's the other thing to think about with this as well. So the Tesla, if I'm remembering this correctly, has sensors built into the car that can see pedestrians and things, right? It can see the obstacles that are out there. So the car should have saw that there was a motorcycle there. But are there things that can compromise that? Could, you know, beams of sunlight pointing to the front of the car screw that up if you're driving, you know, into the sunlight? You know, what can screw that up? I'm sure there's something out there that can compromise that system. But again, what is the point of having autopilot if you have to monitor what the car is doing anyway? There's no point to that. Because you can't do anything. You're sitting there babysitting the car while it's driving itself. That sounds kind of stupid. All right. But then it also kind of begs the question, too, what other crimes can come out of this? If this guy is found convicted, what other crimes are going to come out of this? I've already heard stories talking about how there are people that utilize the autopilot if they're intoxicated, because the car will do the work for them. Can you get a DUI in a Tesla if the Tesla's driving? Is that a possibility? You know, like what's up with that? I'm assuming yes. The answer is yes. You still would get a DUI because you're still in operation of that vehicle, whether it's driving itself or not. So I don't think a Tesla should be at all considered DUI proof, right? But on the same token, what is the serious benefit of this if you have to babysit it and monitor it? Is it just like a highway only thing? Highway only, 3 a.m., no one else is out on the road? Is that the only benefit to this? Maybe this is something we're not ready for. Maybe this is something human beings aren't ready for. You know, we have people that are irresponsible enough on the roadway. And just the idea of somebody saying, hey, I can be less responsible while operating this car that weighs how many thousands of pounds and through neighborhoods, through school zones, whatever. Like, does the Tesla identify those flashing lights when you're going through a school zone where you're supposed to reduce your speed? Can you get a speeding ticket if that car is on autopilot? What's the deal here? I don't know. You tell me. Email me your thoughts. DoomDailyShow@gmail.com. We'll be right back after this short, brief ad.
Can't get enough of Jester Dooms? Check out his other show. It's Doomsday Podcast, available on all podcast platforms. That's It's Doomsday Podcast.
Back to the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Doom Daily Show. So we talk about Ukraine and Russia quite a bit, but I just came across an article. This is by Andrew Thornbrook, Epoch Times. And Biden admin covertly shipped long-range missiles to Ukraine in March. I'm still waiting to see what Ukraine is going to do for Joey. We're still waiting on that. But here we go into this article. The Biden administration covertly shipped long-range missiles to Ukraine in March to assist the embattled nation against Russian invasion. The administration shipped the long-range Army tactical missile system to as part of a $300 million aid package. Now, we see the money that keeps going out for this is insane. White House National Secretary Advisor Jake Sullivan told reporters this on April 24th. So, before we keep going into this, guys, I want you to think about the money that has went out for them to supply things themselves. Okay, just think about that for a second. I'm able to confirm, as you heard from others, that in February, the president directed his team to provide Ukraine with a significant number of ATACMS missiles for use inside Ukraine's sovereign territory, he said. That shipment started moving in March as part of the presidential drawdown authority that the president authorized on March 12th, and those missiles have arrived in Ukraine. The administration previously sent medium-range missiles to Ukraine in September 2023, but until March had stopped short of providing the long-range variant over fears that it would harm U.S. military readiness and risk escalation with Russia. Well, of course it's going to risk escalation with Russia, because you're not just defending them anymore. You're not just playing defense. You're playing offense. And there's so much more that's going on that they're not putting out there in the media. They're not talking about. But you're actively trying to help Ukraine win the war against Russia. At some point, we are going to become their direct enemy, and we're going to get dealt with. Just let that sink in, because most Americans that I know want us to keep our nose out of this fucking business, out of this problem. And eventually, this problem is going to get so big, it's going to come knocking on our door, and people are going to be pissed. Anyway, to continue, to that end, Mr. Sullivan said that several factors influenced the decision to send the long-range missiles to Ukraine, including Russia's own purchase from North Korea of long-range missiles, which Moscow has used to attack civilian infrastructure, including that related to food, energy, and housing. He said that the Biden administration had improved its production and capacities related to the weapon systems and was thus no longer concerned that shipping the missiles to Ukraine would harm U.S. military readiness. On many occasions, we were unable to provide the ATACMs because of readiness concerns, Mr. Sullivan said, but behind the scenes, the administration across the board has worked relentlessly to address those concerns. We now have a significant number of ATACMs coming off the production line and entering U.S. stocks, as well as a result, we can move forward with providing these missiles while also sustaining the readiness of the U.S. armed forces. Okay, so we all know that there is money in war, and we all know that weapons manufacturing is big business. We know that. If anybody's unaware of that, I'm sorry, but that's just what it is. That's how it is. There's money to be made in this. They don't produce these weapons for free. Someone's getting paid somewhere. War is big business. So why would they push so hard for this? Because someone's pockets are being lined, I guarantee it. Another point of concern was the possibility that Ukraine could use the long-range missiles to attack Russian territory, thereby risking a catastrophic escalation of hostilities. No shit. Mr. Sullivan said that the leadership had demonstrated its willingness to refrain from using key systems against Russian territory. However, it had agreed not to use the ATACMs against any part of Russian sovereign territory. They had followed through on that commitment time and time again with respect to the systems that we had provided them, he said. So we have confidence they will follow through on this commitment as well. So they may, or they may not, or something might happen, and it might set a chain reaction of events to where they're extremely pissed, and now they want to retaliate in an even greater way, and we just gave them the capability to do it, along with I don't know how many billions of dollars at this point to keep fighting. One would think that, you know, yes, you send them aid in the form of, you know, food, water, medicine, things like this, not sending billions of dollars over there. I mean, this is insanity at its finest. You're just going to keep pumping money into this till when? Till the election season? So you escalate this to the point of we're in a war? And then the election is just rocked. I mean, it's a good backup plan. If you can't get Trump put in prison, you just start World War III. Wow, wouldn't that be convenient? we can't get those fancy chained bracelets on this man and get him put behind bars. Let's just start a world war. Sure, why not? And tensions are escalating, and the American people are pissed. They are so over this shit. They want food to be reasonably affordable again. They want house. People want to buy a house. And they want to be able to put food in that house. And they want to be able to go to work in a car that they can afford that's not even new, that's used, that has a reasonable interest rate with insurance they can afford. They want to be able to buy their kids toys that aren't coming from overseas. You know, people just want to live, man. And the crazy thing is it's like, nope, you can't have what you want. And if you do, you have to pay out the ass for it. But we better get our tax money first. Is anybody tired of this yet? Is anybody seeing the scam within this system? Is anybody seeing how rigged this actually is? Okay, you sold us on the American dream. All right, you did that. I think it's most head of the household's dreams out there, most men of the house, you know, to work their asses off. You know, provide a good life for their family and their kids, and then hopefully have that mortgage paid off and that property paid off and, you know, pass that down on the line to their kids or so on and so forth. Or maybe, you know, you're a farmer and you love what you do and you enjoy feeding America and you want your kids to take over this farm, and that's all you want. It's very simple. Maybe you're somewhere listening to the show in a 200-year-old farmhouse. And you're hoping it stays in the family for the next 100 years. And that's all you want. You don't want to be bothered. You just want to wake up, milk the cows, or plow the fields, or harvest the corn, or whatever it is you're farming, knowing that you got this house that your great-grandpa was born in and has worked this land. And, you know, this is what your family knows and what it's done. And now you have this overreach of this government that's bearing down on you for everything, as they're trying to run you out of town so they could pump garbage into the American people's bodies. And it's sick, and it's disgusting. And don't ask me how we went from Ukraine to that, but I guess just because we're tired. We're tired of it. Anyway, I'm getting out of here. Producer Scooter, thank you once again for editing and publishing the show and putting this out there for the world to hear. It is great. Guys, the email, doomdailyshow@gmail.com. Make sure you're following on all social media platforms at JesterDooms. Tomorrow I'll be recording in the car. We're going to see how this goes. Have a great day at work, everybody.
News, facts, and opinions. This is the Doom Daily Show.